So we're going to be talking about agency, autonomy and observability today. And this is because Jay Bloom was doing a talk at DevOpsCon that I was watching, and he was talking about autonomy, which sounds really good. He prefers the term agency because autonomy is about being able to do whatever you think you need to do, whereas agency is about being able to take action and observe the impact. So he brings in the idea of observability into it. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, Toby, was agency and autonomy and observability.
Sounds great.
Where do we start?
How do we make our actions observable? So can you think of any examples of that?
So when I think about it, I quite directly connect it to anytime we talk about feedback loops, this is sort of the thing we're actually after. I think that's how it connects. Anytime we can sort of see the results of our actions and sort of feel them, I think that supports agency. And I think that's how I sort of think that these things are connected. Anytime we're saying we need to probe, sense, respond, or we want to do test-driven development, or we want rapid deployments, I think actually that what is at the heart of that argument, the reasoning for it, in a sense, from the humane aspect, is actually that the sense of agency that comes from that. So that's how I tend to think about it, actually.
That makes me think about decentralizing decision making, right? There are still some decisions that should never be decentralized. And I think that might be a factor of observability, because I've always thought about different layers in a hierarchy in an organization. And if you think about it, when I'm on the ground and I'm looking around, I can see that there's trees and I can see the grass and things like that, just as an analogy or metaphor. And then say my manager might be in a helicopter and they can see a bit further. They can see that there's a river over one way and a cliff over another way and a desert somewhere else. And therefore, they can help me make better decisions about where I'm going, because I can only see a certain distance. They can see a lot further. And then the next manager up might be in a jet 3 kilometres above, and they can see even further again. So they don't have the level of detail to be able to make a decision about, you know, how many steps should I take, or am I about to step on a snake or something like that. They can see things that I can't. So I think observability and decision making are interrelated depending on the level of hierarchy you're in an organization.
And I think that's a really useful way to think about bounds to autonomy too. And I think this is an aspect that is often forgotten, often sort of underplayed. When we say autonomy, people tend to think it's the right or the ability to do whatever, not to sort of do whatever in order to reach a certain outcome within a certain context. And I think that's the sort of problematic bit. Once you start seeing the sort of the bounds to your autonomy, you also get this sense that sort of, yes, what you need is sort of the ability to see, you need the situational awareness, you need to support that. And that in itself gives rise to the possibility to take meaningful action. And talking about hierarchy and sort of organizational design at large, what I find both as an IC and as a manager is, if we look at it from the person's perspective, when people actually struggle, when they feel stressed and often when you lose engagement, is when you don't have that sense of what you're doing, that it actually matters in a sense, or that you can't control it. Stress is often caused by a sense of lack of control. It's not actually usually caused by this sort of absolute workload. It's actually that sense of not going anywhere. And that's also when you go into purpose as a thing. I think that usually what you're seeing is this lack of agency, because you can't see or you can't be aware of the impact that your actions are having. And hence, you don't feel like what you do actually matter. You can't connect it. And that's when we need all these different layers to actually communicate and sort of create the observability. The more observable we make this our surroundings, and the more we enable to transfer the right signals about what's actually going on to the people making decisions, the more we can defer decision rights, and the more you can feel that your decisions actually matter. And I think that's where our sense of agency, our sense of purpose, our sense of contribution comes from. And I think that is at a very deep level what gives us meaning.
And I think you just got me thinking about a person that used to work with me, and he thought he was doing a very boring job. and he thought processing invoices for vendors was a boring job. That's what it actually was. I didn't see it as a boring job. I saw it as a way of running the business. So we're in an area in a large organization, which was a bit unusual. It was like a mini part of the organization. And paying the vendor invoices, when I looked at it, was part of the running of the business in a day-to-day sense. So I had a conversation with him and I started to explain how it's not just a boring admin job. What we have to do is we have to make sure that when we get invoiced, that we're getting invoiced for the right things, that the business area that was ordering the stuff, the work, actually had authorized it, that it was up to quality. So it was a lot of checks and balances. And then another part of the job was making sure the vendors actually got paid. I remember a time when one of the transactions got lost somewhere in the mix of banks that it used to go through. And, you know, he stuck to his guns and kept chasing that up because by then he'd realised that there was a lot more to the job than just passing bits of paper along and ticking boxes. It was actually, if we didn't do it right, then the vendors that were supplying us didn't get paid on time and wouldn't be able to keep paying their staff. And vice versa, if we didn't make sure that things were getting done properly, then there was a lot of risk involved. So it went from being seen as a boring job to this is actually a key part of running the business. So it, in my view, it was something that should have been observable by a team member, but it was invisible to him until I'd explained how it fitted into the broader part of the organization.
And I think that's so very often the case. And that reminds me of an episode almost a decade back now, but I was leading these two teams where one of them were working on this fantastic new greenfield project, the kind that everyone wants to be part of. Sort of you're building the new product with a completely new team on the new tech stack that you picked yourself and sort of everything is supposedly wonderful. So you had that team, and then you had the brownfield team that was working on this aging technology in a decade-old system that everyone said was rife with tech debt. And so that's the team that traditionally you would sort of give that and say that that's the boring job. So let the Tiger team take the greenfield project and let sort of the has-beens work on the brownfield project. Mm. And at one point, I'm sitting with one of the greenfield devs, and I'm part of the brownfield team because, well, I'm a manager, so I'm useless, right? Anyway, and he's lamenting the fact that the brownfield team is having all the fun.
Really? How'd that happen?
How did, yeah, and sort of, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't believe this. how can this actually be? But what I realized after a time was that the greenfield project was, it was challenged because the estimate had been like, well, this thing will, the estimate from me and a few others were this thing, if we do it, if we keep the scope and these constraints, then it's going to take us 18 months to launch anything. For various reasons, they've been bludgeoned into going, no, we're going to ship in 6. And they were 9 months into it. And of course, no end in sight.
Mm.
So they were super stressed over being late. Although I think they were, they launched after 17 months. But they didn't have a feeling of sort of actually going anywhere. They hadn't gotten any meaningful feedback on if they were going in the right direction for months. So they were doing everything with fancy tools, but they weren't actually getting any real substantial information if they were doing things right.
Mm.
In contrast, the brownfield team was shipping new software to real customers and seeing and monitoring the impact that it had on the business, on cash flow, on usage, on all of these things every single week. So that team, although we're sort of going around in this muck and sort of, well, we're doing it better and we're sort of improving it bit by bit by bit, we actually also had a sense of we were able to celebrate and sort of make new decisions based on not a plan that was 6 months stale, but on sort of the things we learned last week. Mm. So we had a much greater sense of agency. What we did actually mattered. It mattered to others. We didn't have the fancy job, but we took much more pride in it at the end of the day and had much more camaraderie. And so that was sort of the distinction, but it led to this really bizarre conversation happening. And I think that was, to me, was one of these pivotal moments where you go, It's not what we do, it's how we do it, in a sense. The sort of,
it's how many feedback loops you've got.
Yeah, that's sort of the often the when we say that we want to be learning things and we sort of when we demand to work with new technology, as technologists, we like that. We need sort of there's always that enticement. But to a certain extent, it's also what we do when we don't have anything meaningful to do. And meaningful is something that's useful to someone else, because most technologists, not all of us, but most of us, we're actually deeply in this because we want to help others. And then being able to see that becomes insanely important to us. Some of us can run on just the idea of eventually being able to change the world for extended periods of time, but most of us actually need that continuous feedback of we're building something for someone. We're building something that matters, and it matters to someone. And when we meet that, the technology actually tends to fade to the background.
Yeah, I always get a little thrill when I feel like I've done something that other people find useful. It's really quite nice.